All right.
The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I got asked in an interview yesterday where I was on getting back out on the road. And even though Eddie and I do big shows, I wouldn't say that that's really what we do for a living. We tour constantly. If you're new to the show, Eddie and I are in a comedy duo called The Raging Idiots, and I also tour as a comic. But not our main thing, so I know I'm not as pressing when it's like, hey, we got to get out there. So for me, I've canceled every show until at least next year because I just don't want to put anybody at risk. We still really don't know enough about COVID-19. So I just, you know, I'm okay. Now, I do understand a lot of artists going, hey, I feel pretty safe and from what I know, and we'll do social distancing and masks. And I think, too, if we see there's not a big spike after protests, that masks probably work pretty good. A lot of folks out there in masks. I was reading today, Texas is high. This last week in Texas with the corona hospitalizations, the highest since early May. So you're going to see Florida was pretty bad. You're going to see it happen again. But me personally, we're not going on the road. I'm not going on the road. I'm speaking at a thing in July. I think it's July 16th in Grapevine, Texas, right side of Dallas. So I'm going and I'm doing some comedy and doing a big corporate speaking event. But I was like, hey, I'm not going to do a meet and greet. And we got to make sure everybody's not sitting right on each other because I don't want what I'm doing to be responsible for anybody getting sick. So I am doing that. But really not for me. Trace Adkins says he wants to get back to work. He loves doing what he does. He's not stir crazy, but he'd like to get back to work. Craig Morgan says, I'm nervous for people in our business. I think there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of artists, a lot of musicians, publishers, even some labels that won't survive this. Now, that's the part that sucks. But there are guys that tour. That's their life. So for me, I felt like my answer wasn't what they were looking for. I think they wanted no or yes. And I was like, not my main thing. So we're just going to chill. Now, if my mortgage depended on me touring, I may have a different outlook on it, obviously. So that's that. What else do I have here? An Amazon worker loses their engagement ring while packing boxes. How about that? That would stink, huh? You're doing your job, packing it up. You look down at your finger and it's gone. Mm. Now you have to go to everybody's house you send a package to all over the world. That would stink. A customer in an Amazon warehouse is asking customers to check their packages for an engagement ring that fell off of her finger. Jasmine Paget said she and her fiance, who's an Amazon worker as well, searched the warehouse, couldn't find it. They stopped the warehouse temporarily to search the floor, but they were unable to locate it. She's like, hey, it's in a package. Will you please check your package for an engagement ring? With the millions of packages they send out, that's crazy, huh? By the way, I know you guys are going to roast me if you're watching this on Facebook Live because I'm not wearing sleeves today. I'm in my house. What do you want from me? I'm done with my statement. That's all I'm saying. I'm in my house.
That's all he's got.
That's all I got. Sometimes at home, most of the time I don't wear sleeves, and I like my Kip Moore shirt that I'm wearing. So, you know, that's just going to be it.
Would you wear a basketball jersey?
No. This is like a run. I'll go run right after this. So for me, it's like, what's the least amount of clothes I can waste and throw in the laundry? I have shorts on and this shirt. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to go run. And then I'll just switch to my second clothes that are clean. So
hate how much space a shirt with sleeves takes up. Yeah.
You're being sarcastic, right?
Yeah, because he said the least amount of clothes I can wash
Not to dirty anything else up.
I know, but you know how I feel about sleeveless shirts to work out in. You know how I feel.
I like sleeveless shirts all the time. Don't be a hater.
Sorry, I can't help that. I can't help myself. I told you this for years. This goes back to 24-hour fitness 2006. Like, we would meet at the gym, and you would be in a sleeveless shirt, and I would ask why.
Which is you saying I don't have big muscles.
No, I don't want my, no, you have great muscles. This has nothing to do with your muscles. I don't want anybody with any muscle. Fine, I'm going to stop hating. There's no point. So you have big muscles and you know it. You're flexing right now. That is,
dang, Popeye.
That's a bicep. You don't.
That's a bicep. Amy.
Hey.
Amy,
Ouch. What's this? Right yeah. Here? Ouch.
Can't handle. There's nothing there.
Eddie's guns.
Eddie's I tried.
Actually, Eddie, I see a bump.
Yeah, something that's there, but not much. It's an ingrown hair.
Anyway, yeah. Everybody hating on me for sleeves. I don't care. I'm over people yelling about stuff on social media. Who cares? I don't even look.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't even look anymore. It's exhausting to me.
You don't have to. You get roasted here by Amy.
I know. I get roasted by my own people. Why do I need people on social media when I have my friends do it? All right. We're going to get into the show. I think that's all I have. I got to go run, and I'm tired of being roasted. Do you know the best day of the year to be born? Did you see that story?
I didn't, but let me guess.
Did you ever
What are they basing it off of?
Did you ever read Outliers?
No, but my husband did, and I've seen bits and pieces, and I want to. I need to. But
one of the chapters,
yeah, there is a time of year.
Well, one of the chapters is about kids and sports, and it's, if you're born at this month, you get all this extra time in this age group before you have to go to the next age. They're like, yeah, that's why you see a lot of professional athletes that were born in this month, just because they happen to be born right here at this part of the year. According to Ocean Finance, there is one day of the year which they believe is the best to be born on, and it may impact your success. The researchers surveyed 650 of the most successful people, and then they found out that the month that most people were born in is September. Any Septemberers here?
No.
Right here.
And what it is because you start school and you're the oldest, so even though you're five, basically, you're still the oldest five, so you're a little smarter just based on you've been around long enough. And just think it, at five, you're 3 or 4 months older. That's a lot of development in there. And then you're treated because of that early development like you're smarter. You're put into smarter classes like, oh, he's gifted. When really, the youngest five-year-old maybe is gifted too, but they just haven't learned enough yet. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Research found that September 6th happens to be the most common birthday. Those born in February and November are considered to succeed the least. Any February or November birthdays?
No.
That's right. They couldn't make it on the show.
We're all winners.
Yeah. But yeah, if you go into, let's say, baseball, Amy, at 6 years old, and you were born in September, you have developed 3, 4, 5 months physically more than the kids in the same age group. So therefore, at age 6, you're better already because you're stronger. So then you make all-stars earlier, which is extra practice, which is an elevated practice, playing with more skilled people. And so you were born earlier, and now you get all this extra work too, which makes you better, and this happens over and over through life. So some people will have their babies purposefully around September. Did you know that?
Yeah, or they hold their kids back.
Yeah, that can happen too. Okay, cool.
But all right.
That's it. We're done.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, that book's great. That whole book isn't about that. That's just one chapter. Another chapter is like why they make all pilots learn English. Because in some Asian cultures, you always, whenever your superior says, hey, do this, you go, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But when you're flying a plane and you're the only one that can see what's happening, you can't just go, okay, mission control, or okay, tower, I'm going to listen to you. Sometimes you have to go, no. And so they have to teach not only English, but like the culture of the language and why we'll actually fight back. Pretty wild. It's a good book if you never read it.
Well, because some cultures don't challenge.
That's what I'm saying. In Asian culture, if you're an elder, you know more. So I just go, not challenging you, going to listen. But if you're in an airplane, you're the only one that can see what's going on, and you're like, hey, I like to challenge this, they don't do that. So, and there have been crashes because of that. I think I pretty much summed that book up, right? But there's a whole bunch of every chapter is about something. But it's a good one. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy today's show. Goodbye.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones. Transmitting.
Hey guys, welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Had my first experience in a restaurant yesterday since quarantine and house lockup and then slightly lockup. I've been normalizing myself, and Caitlin and I went to a restaurant. we're going to the driving range to some golf balls. There's a little par three course there, and she's been getting into golf. So we go play, and on the way back, she was like, I'd really like to stop at this restaurant. And we thought about picking up food, but we had nothing to do. So we're like, let's just go in. It was called U.S. Border Cantina. Looked authentic Mexican, and it was. It was great. The food was great. But went in, thought I may be a little more nervous than I was, but it was actually pretty good. The staff had masks on, which was a little confusing because you forget which one was your waiter because all the dudes looked the same with the mask on. so you're just like, hey, are you my waiter? Or was because everybody's wearing big black masks. But it was great. The only thing that was weird was the menu. Not a big fan of a menu anyway, but I used a paper towel on the or a napkin on the menu, but it was good. I feel like I can do restaurants if it's socially distanced like this place. No, there weren't two tables that were open next to each other. They had little like flags over them. So it was good. Have you been to a restaurant yet, Amy?
I haven't. No.
Mm-mm. Would you go to a restaurant?
I think so. We just haven't taken the time to do that yet, but I'm sure we'll do it soon, especially hearing that you had a great experience. That helps.
Our waiter was like a bald dude with a black mask on, probably about 5'10". And there was another bald dude with a mask on, probably about 5'9 or 5'10". And I was like, hey, man, remember when I said this? And he had no idea. And he was like, so you also can't really hear them. So it's a little bit of a communication issue. But other than that, I was good. Ed, have you been to a restaurant yet?
No. You know what? I've had a friend of mine who's been trying to get me to go. He wants to get Mexican food, too, like every once a week. And I'm like, oh, I'm just not there yet. Maybe, I don't know, maybe another month.
I was proud of myself because I overate, but I didn't overeat. Because I knew when I sit down and there's a big basket of chips, I'm going hard. So I don't need to order as hard. But if there's a basket of chips, I'm going to eat all the chips. And then I order queso, which I haven't had in a long time. But I had queso, I had guacamole, I had
nice.
Salsa.
Stop, Eddie.
I had salsa, yeah. The Palomino meal, which was, Eddie, do you know that?
No, tell me more.
Native. No. It was a chicken burrito with queso on top of it with black beans and rice.
Okay.
Anything?
Sounds like a burrito with
yeah. Queso I don't know why they call it the Palomino burrito.
It's probably just the name, so it's easier to order.
Lunchbox, have you been to a restaurant yet?
No, I haven't been in a business since March. I have not been in a store, anything since March, so I have not got any food, nothing.
I guess the only place I've been into was Dick's when I was trying to go get a baseball bat. We had to go real quick. We were going to play ball. But that's my big experience yesterday. Amy, anything? Did you do anything yesterday?
I don't really feel like I had any big experiences, no.
You did nothing.
Well, I'm trying to think of what I did yesterday.
I'm just curious about your day. I think everybody listening right now is curious about your day. Like, what do you do? All right, there we have it, folks. What? It doesn't have to be crazy. I'm just kind of asking about your day. That's all.
I know. And now I'm trying to think of my day, but I don't know. I mean, it's just with the kids, like walked the dog with Stevenson.
Nice. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Are you moving? Okay. Are you packing for your move?
Start clearing out things that we're trying to get rid of that we don't want to take with us to the new house. Yeah, we have like piles going in the house. Keep, not keep. Mm. So I just don't feel like my day's very exciting, but.
Okay. Eddie, anything exciting happen on your day?
I did. Oh, I taught the kids butt ball. I think everywhere else in America, they called it wall ball. You know, but
oh,
we
yeah,
it
where you bounce
Texas.
It. And if it hits off your hand, you get to throw it at them. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
We called it wall ball. Eddie, what'd you call it?
Butt ball.
Amy, what'd you call it?
Butts up.
That sounds like a weird, different game you guys played. But.
Okay.
But yeah, Eddie, it's where you bounce it. But if you don't catch it and it hits off your hand, everybody gets to throw the ball at you.
Yeah, you have to run and touch the wall before the ball gets there.
Yeah.
And dude, they loved it. They had so much fun, except when they missed the ball and it was their time to get up against the wall. It was the hardest thing to not get them to look back and see when the ball was coming. Like, you can't look. You have,
okay,
you can look
so
against the wall.
You're saying if you missed it, you had to go put your hands on the wall and stand there?
Yeah. So yeah. If you touch the ball and drop it, like if you don't catch it.
You have to run to the ball. The wall.
Run to the wall and touch the wall before someone can throw the ball to the wall.
Right.
And if you don't get there in time, you have to stand up against the wall, you know, with your face towards the wall and get tagged.
Ah, got it. We should play that.
No, it's not fun. Like, if you have people that throw the ball hard, it's not fun.
The Bobby Bones Show.
All right, time for the countdown that makes everybody smile. Here we go.
It's the Good News Countdown. Counting down the biggest good news stories across the land.
Oh, yeah. Coming in.
Number five.
To cheer kids up, a mom in New York has been redesigning the covers of famous children's books to make them coronavirus-themed. They're a hit on Instagram. For example, she reworked Green Eggs and Ham, so it's Green Eggs and Wash Your Hands. There's a whole bunch of them, and they're getting tons of shares. It's pretty cool.
Number four.
A missing autistic child in Asheboro, North Carolina, was returned home safely thanks to a drone operated by the police department. The drone operator located the child lying in a field. He was able to direct ground officers to the child's location and was returned home unharmed.
Awesome.
Isn't that crazy? Drones now can just fly up and find stuff. And also, they can, like, save people drowning. And they can fly and try to drop in any sort of
like
flotation device, too.
Preserver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number three.
New York just announced schools will be able to hold outdoor graduation ceremonies starting June 26th. Last Wednesday was the first day since March 12th with no COVID-19 deaths in New York City.
Wow.
Bunch of kids are like, dang, I graduated in May.
I know.
Also, how many are left? I feel like we've been graduating for like a month at this point. But it's pretty cool that now some of the kids will actually get to experience sort of their graduation. Mm-hmm. I was watching this story about a club in London where they wanted to open the club. And they're like, can't open a club. And they're like, well, we'll social distance and have people dance.
Like a nightclub?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're like, you can't have people dance. So they're like, fine. So they got this DJ that was pretty well known in the UK. And he played and people sat in chairs 6 feet apart and just clapped their hands. Funny. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Communities in Philadelphia couldn't get groceries because stores were closed due to looting. So the owner of several ShopRite supermarkets teamed up with a charity and just sent a bunch of free groceries to folks that needed them. They were like, they want it, they need it. Let's find out who they are and let's make sure they get them.
Number one.
And a bunch of people in Logan, Utah were protesting outside a courthouse when the local police chief showed up with a whole bunch of pizza and a whole bunch of Cokes and said, while you guys are protesting, here, let's make sure you guys are fed. And there you go. That's the number one story in the Good News Countdown.
That was
the Good News Countdown.
I mean, that's so retro and 80s. I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cheesy on purpose, but I love that. I love the segment. That's what it's all about right there. On the phone right now is Kimberly. Hey, Kimberly, thanks for talking with me. I'm really good. I'm glad you're on because what we're about to talk about, it's a little scandalous. yeah. And it's being brought up again because we finally are able to talk to Kimberly. And this is something that it's a little sensitive for me to talk about too. So what happened was a few weeks ago, Kimberly called our voicemail line asking if Eddie, my best friend, had sold a book that I gave him, that I wrote. I made a special note for him inside of it. Eddie denied that he sold the book.
Correct.
But Kimberly, where did you find this book?
It was found at McKay's in Nashville. My friend bought it, and then she posted it. And I just thought, I don't know if Bobby knows that Eddie sold his book.
I have a picture of it here. Eddie, this is the note I wrote you.
What does it say?
It says Eddie. Yeah. Like it says right here. Eddie, I wrote it. I was so proud of this book. It was my second book. It went number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I was like, wow, maybe this will be worth something. Maybe it doesn't, but Eddie's my best friend. I want to write a note for him. Mm-hmm. I said, Eddie, you are a good friend to me most of the time. Hugs and kisses. Bobby Bones.
I remember it. Of course.
Well, somehow somebody sold it to a bookstore and then they found it.
That's crazy. And I think that it's a little presumptuous to say that I sold it.
Go ahead.
I did not sell this book. I don't know how it got out of my house. I may have lent it to someone. My wife may have taken it to Goodwill with a stack of books. I did not sell this. So it's crazy. I would really like to know how it made it to that bookstore. I have no idea.
Kimberly, what can you lend us? What knowledge can you lend us here?
I mean, I'm concerned. I'm like, how much did you get for it? Because I feel like McKay's, you could have got more for that.
Yeah, do you know how much your friend paid for it?
I do not. I think like under $10.
Dang.
A heartfelt book.
Do you think I would sell it for under $10?
To my best friend, and you sell it to a secondhand thrift shop?
Yeah, I would never do that, dude. I would go to the streets and be like, hey, my good friend Bobby Bones, you can see him on American Idol. Come on, $200.
How did it get there?
It's a good question. I have no
idea.
Do you
need to ask your wife?
I did ask her, and we found, because I was like, we have this book. So I made her look through the whole house, and we found Bare Bones, the first book.
That's the first one.
I'm like, great, where's the second one? We're looking for the second one. She's like, I can't find it anywhere.
All right.
Telling you.
Kimberly, this we have verified. This is the book I gave to Eddie. Thank you for sending us the picture.
That's the book.
Oh. do you have it? Do you have it in your possession?
It's actually my friend's book, but she does have it.
Well, did she read it by any chance?
Yes, and I have read the book too.
Oh, did you like it?
Oh yes, I'm a teacher, so like all of that, I share with my students, and it helps fuel me to talk to them.
Oh, well, great. Yeah, it's called Fail Until You Don't. you can check it out. Get it on Amazon or wherever. But I'm going to give you, Kimberly, for being a part of this scandal, a $500 Visa gift card from giftcards.com, okay? And
whoa!
Yeah. So let me read this
for
a second. Well, hold on.
Now tell them it's all a joke, Kimberly. Go ahead.
No, it's not a joke. Okay. Not a joke. Yeah. As one of the world's most recognizable and trusted brands, the giftcards.com Visa gift card is a perfect gift to give a friend or a loved one with a custom photo and text. Each gift card can be personally designed for its recipient. The giftcards.com Visa gift card can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted in the United States. And Kimberly, for calling us, for being a listener, for shedding light on this, I'm going to give this to you, okay?
Wow, thank you. I'm in shock.
You're welcome. And I'm in shock, too, that a friend such as Eddie
would take a
first edition of this, too. As soon as it was printed, I got you one. Hardback. All right. Hey, Kimberly, I'm going to leave you on hold so we can get you this prize. Thank you for listening to the show, okay?
Thank you.
All right. There she is.
That sucks. Well, I didn't tell it. It's just crazy how that made it to that bookstore. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Eddie's probably got $5 for it.
Yeah, right. Like, I would sell that for $5. I would make $1,000 on that.
No, you wouldn't.
How much do you think I could have gotten that on eBay? Me.
That's none. Bobby Bones
Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Thomas Rhett has written a lot of songs during quarantine.
During quarantine, I mean, it's been 60-something days. I would probably say I've written 35 to 40 songs. I just feel like any kind of change in life can spark a new idea, and especially the same for your co-writers because they're going through the same stuff too. So there's definitely no shortage of ideas during this time, and I do feel very creative.
The John Prine tribute show is happening tomorrow. It will feature never-before-seen footage of John plus performances from Eric Church, Casey Musgraves, Vince Gill, and more. It premieres at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on all of his social media channels. Kelsey Ballerini announced her next single, It's Hole in the Bottle. There's a hole in the bottle, leaking all this wine. It's already empty, it ain't even supper time. Honey, no, I don't miss it. In fact, it slipped my mind. There's a hole in the bottle, why? I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
Bobby Bones.
It's time for the good news
with Bobby.
Tell me something good.
So this guy Armando Garcia has been a waiter at this Mexican cafe in Vegas for over a decade, and he's never gotten a tip as big as he did just a few days ago. He was waiting on two men who he says he's seen him in the restaurant before. When they left, he realized they had left him a $2,000 tip on a $64 bill. At first, he was like, well, this isn't right. But then he saw the note they left at the bottom of the receipt. It said, stay safe. Thank you for your great service. Hope this helps. Love the Lopez brothers. I couldn't believe it. He said, it's a big relief. He's been struggling. He's so thankful for it. Read that story. Wanted to share it with you guys because that, if you can do it, is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Virginia. A 23-year-old man showed up to the hospital missing a hand and several fingers from his other hand. He said, man, I was messing with the lawnmower, stuck my hand under there, and it chopped it off. Police went to his house and found out he was trying to learn how to make homemade bombs and blew himself up.
Wow.
Scary.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
I'm glad he's a bonehead.
So does he get in trouble?
Plus, yes.
Did he have illegal things, or was he using legal things to blow things up for fun in the backyard?
No, he had a previous conviction for explosives, and now he's facing other charges.
Well, you know what? I enjoy this bonehead.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Lawnmower.
There you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Netflix put out a movie that's getting a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And so I asked everybody to come in with the worst movie they thought was going to be pretty good, and it ended up being terrible. So we're going to go around the room in a second. But according to Movie Mike on our show, there are only 42 movies with a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The movie that Netflix released is called The Last Days of American Crime. I looked it up. It's 2.5 hours long, too. So it's long and terrible. There's still some time. Obviously, it just came out, but it's a 0%. So we'll go around the room. You talk about an overrated movie, but it was terrible. What is it? Amy, you're up first.
District 9.
Oh, the Alien movie. I really like District 9.
Yeah, well, you and a lot of other people. It has 90% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, but I thought it was horrible.
Yeah, it was a little different, but I really liked it. Movie Mike, did you see it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Mine's going to be Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. Love Adam Sandler. Love sports. Love sports gambling. Thought the movie was pretty rotten. It's just a lot. Mike, what's that review?
It has 92%.
Yeah. Eddie, what's yours?
Mine's back from the day, like 2000-ish or whatever. It was Nacho Libre with Jack Black. You remember that?
That's pretty funny.
I remember everyone quoting it. Oh, it's like Jack Black doing some Spanish accent. And we're like, let me give it a shot. Oh, it's terrible. I hated it. And now it's on Disney Plus or something, and my kids want to watch it. I'm like, go ahead. I'm not having it.
Yeah, Jack Black was a Mexican wrestler, a luchador, yeah. Right?
Right.
Mike, what's that review?
39%.
Oh, so Eddie's kind of on track with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think Good. It was so bad. Lunchbox?
Multiplicity with Michael Keaton back in the 90s. He's like, he gets cloned by some doctor and he just keeps cloning himself. And it was awful. Off. Only movie I walked out of the theater.
Oh, you left, huh?
Left. Done. Couldn't do it.
Mike, what's that rate?
43%.
All right. Kind of in the middle. Have I ever left a movie? The Hulk, the original one with Eric Bana, I left the theater. I fell asleep during that superhero movie with Ben Stiller. They had bowling balls.
Mystery Men?
Maybe. I fell asleep there. But I guess the only one's the Hulk. Morgan, number two, what's the bad movie in your mind?
Mine would be Paul Blart Mall Cop.
I like Paul Blart.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Yeah, you didn't like Paul Blart?
No, it's just I would never watch it again. Like, it was okay, but I would never watch it again.
Mike, what's that?
33%.
Okay. Yeah. Raymundo, final one. The movie that you saw and you thought it was going to be good, but it was terrible.
Yeah, I saw it with my buddies in college, Snakes on a Plane with Samuel L. Jackson. It's just not very believable. Snakes are never going to attack like that on a plane. And it's not one thing was realistic. And even though it's a made-up movie, I like it to have somewhat of a real feel to it, and it just was completely fake, and there's no way it could ever happen in a million years.
What's that one, right?
69%.
Hey, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all of ours, right? Those are all the movies we watched that were like, man, we could give that a 0%. But what we're going to do now is one of us is going to have to watch The Last Days of American Crime.
Oh, my God. Boy.
This movie on Netflix that's getting a 0% rating. So we have all of our names in a hat. Our executive producer, Scuba Steve, has entered the studio. Scuba Steve's now on camera. Hey, Scuba, yes, so all of us are in the hat, right?
Yes, everyone's here.
Oh, boy.
Do you have a fresh shave on your head today?
No, I'm wearing a hat today because I don't have a fresh shave.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Scuba, thank you. Shaves his head. Looked like he got a fresh shave there. All right, so we're going to pull a name out, and the first name is out. The last one in the hat has to watch the movie.
Oh, yes!
This is
great.
Hey, it's all an idea.
So
I'll pull the first one?
Not yet. There are six people in the hat. Me, Amy, Eddie, Lunchbox, Ray, and Morgan. When you pull them out, they're eliminated. The person who's the last one in the hat has to watch this 2.5-hour terrible movie on Netflix. Please don't be me. Called The Last Day of American Crime. All right, here we go. Number one, pull them on out.
First one is Ray. Ray is safe.
Yeah! Oh.
All right. Hey, Scuba, lifted the hat up above your head so you can't see. Because I don't want anyone yelling. All right, so mix them up.
I got you. Next one is...
The next person who's safe is...
Come on, Bobby.
Amy.
Oh, yes! Oh, my goodness. Yes!
No!
Yes!
Yes!
I hate this.
All right, next one.
There are four people left. Me, Eddie, Lunchbox, and Morgan number two. Who's up?
Now we're down to Morgan.
She's safe. Why does this happen to me?
It's Come for on. Sure going to be me. Oh, no. All right, mix it up, Scuba. We need to see the mix up here.
All right, mixing it up.
Okay, so three names in the hat. Come on, draw my name. Draw my name. Draw my name.
The next safe person
is... Come on, come on, come
Bobby.
On.
Eddie!
No!
What?
Wow. Yes.
So we're down to you, Bobby.
Did you take my name into the hat? Come on.
Scuba. Okay. Hey, Morgan, we're going to have you go and draw the last name.
Okay.
So, Morgan, come
Scuba,
on.
Mix them up.
Okay.
Hey, Morgan, don't draw quite yet. Lunchbox and I are both in the hat. I always lose when we do these things.
50-50, Bones. Here we go.
Shake the hat, Scuba.
Shake, 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 shake.
Shake it hard.
Shake it like a salt shaker.
All right, Morgan, you're going to reach in and don't look at it, but Morgan, reach in and grab one of the names. There she is. She's in the hat. Now, I want it to be my name. Lunchbox wants it to be his name.
Yes, come on.
The person who she says does not have to watch the 0%
come on.
Netflix movie, The Last Days of American Crime. If I can get the camera on Morgan's face. Morgan, who is on the paper?
Lunchbox.
No!
Hey, it's your bit, Bones. This is your idea. That's
awesome.
I come up with a great bit, and of course, I have to suffer the punishment. Hey, Raymundo.
Yeah.
I'll sell you this bit for $50. I'll pay you $50 to watch The Last Days of American Crime.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I'd do that in a heartbeat, too.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
Can I sell it to Raymundo or no?
Amy?
I mean... And normally I would say that's not necessarily fair, but if we want to start playing by different rules, then yeah, add it to the list of how we do things on the show, because now you're setting a precedent for how we handle things we don't want to do in the future.
But you can just pay someone to do it.
Up to you. Yeah,
I'm just saying. Like selling that's what, all our stuff now.
That's what she wanted to do. Like,
all right, I'll watch it.
Okay.
Dang. With six people, I lose. I've come up with a bit, then I lose. I should have immunity. All right. I'll watch it. By 2021, I'll have a review there. All right.
No.
Amy's wearing a Guns N' Roses t-shirt today. It's a pretty cool shirt. But I'm going to play Thanks. Some Guns N' Roses songs now. See how many you can name.
Okay, can't wait.
Okay, we're going to do their biggest. So we're going to start with their most streamed song. Because the rule is, if someone says, oh, that's a cool shirt, you like that band, you have to at least know three of their songs. So before we play the game, Amy, how many Guns N' Roses songs can you name? Go ahead.
I can't really think of one right now. I mean, I know that I know them, but I would have to hear them or get prompted, and then I could tell you.
Yeah, so you know no Guns N' Roses songs?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Are you admitting you're a poser?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. Number one, can you name this Guns N' Roses song?
I love this one.
Did you say I love this one? Do you know this one?
Yeah, laughing, away from me, and time. Right?
You have any answer?
Can I hear the words?
Well,
am I just getting the instrumental? There you go.
Okay, time's up.
That's exactly what I was seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Three, two, one.
Oh, sweet child of mine.
Sweet child of
mine. Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Amy, zero, 0-1. Here's Guns N' Roses' second most streamed song. Okay. You ever heard this one?
don't know.
Here we go, and bum.
Come on, Amy.
No.
Oh, welcome to the jungle.
Yeah. You can have that one. All right, see if you know this one.
Oh, yeah. Paradise City.
What?
Take me back. Take me back to Paradise City.
We'll take
the grass is green and the girls all pretty.
Paradise City. We'll take that. You need to get one of the next two in order to win the game. All right, here we go. Name this Guns N' Roses song. I'll give you a hint. It's like 40 hours long.
Is this from Armageddon?
I don't think so. I think you're thinking of Aerosmith. Don't want to miss a thing.
No.
It could be, but I don't know it from Armageddon.
Okay, hold on. Where do I wanna go? Oh, there's no place you wanna be. There's no
way. 5 seconds. A lot of O's in this song.
What?
I have it. Where I want to be. All
right, let's pull it down. Amy, what's that?
Fade away in the cold November rain.
Wow, she got it again!
Crazy! Wow. I thought she was singing a whole different song.
Yeah.
I think she was. I think she was singing Hakuna Matata or some crap.
Don't doubt me.
Okay. You needed 9 minutes to go, whoa.
Hey, no, it's a long song.
Okay.
Well, November.
You win. But here's
who
the
deserves
last one.
To wear this shirt?
Yeah. I give you a hint. This is a cover. There you go.
Hold on.
If you get this one, I'll be very impressed.
Okay, I know it.
Yeah, play the drums. You go.
For those wondering what Amy does, during this, she plays drums and goes, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Mama, take this badge from me.
Bye.
A few more O's, you'll get it. There you go.
Mama. I want to get it. Give me a few more hints.
It's right to the first name of the song right there. It feels like I'm
walking on heaven. Knocking on heaven's door.
Wow.
Feels like
that's
I'm
it.
I'm impressed.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice job, Amy.
Woo!
You did get them.
Got hot up in here.
I have an artist shirt on, too, I just realized.
Are you going to do that?
Well, so I'm wearing
10 songs.
I'm wearing a Kip Moore shirt. They hit me with some of the Kip stuff. I could probably knit. That's Kip, Amy. Something Bad Truck.
Okay, good.
Hey, Pretty Girl.
I just wrote this song. Well, I've been living like a wild old Mustang. Had a little man of flips. Might have earned me a bad reputation.
What's this one, Eddie?
I mean, I feel like that's the title on your career, right?
Wild One? No.
It's not?
No. God Made You. Something About You. And then God made girls. No, God made girls.
Like me,
Yeah, God made girls. God made girls. That's it.
No, that's what's it called, Mike?
More Girls Like You.
More Girls Like You.
Ah. Right.
We're thinking of Ray
God
Lynn.
God made girls is Ray Lynn.
Ray Lynn's like God made girls. All right, hit me with another one. I'm 2 for 3. Is that a new one?
Number one.
I gotta be honest. I think Amy's better at Guns N' Roses than I am Kip Moore right now. Because I don't have this one. Do you, Eddie?
I have a guess, but no, I don't know.
Go ahead.
The Bull?
No, the Bull's a little more aggressive.
I think go number one.
Well, baby, love's just one. Amy, you know this one? Word just gets thrown around like a Jack and Coke sitting on. No? What's this, Mike?
Last Shot.
Last Shot. I don't think I knew Last Shot. All right, give me
was,
one more.
Oh, number one?
We know this one. You know this one, Amy?
Thank you. Hold on, it takes me longer than you. When the lights nice.
Go down, and you're stuck here in this town with nowhere to go.
Eddie, you know this one? So you escape. You guys know this one. This is one we've played a bunch.
Yes, I know it.
All week!
Oh, 9 to 5.
No. No.
That's Dolly. That's Dolly Parton. No in my pocket.
Shift work.
Oh, no.
Come on.
I got it.
Come beer on, money? Come on. What? Yeah, that
beer money.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, all right.
All right, well.
Oh.
Amy, you're hardcore Guns N' Roses. I guess I'm just a pretty big Kip Moore fan. Thought I was bigger. All right, let's hear from Sandra.
I'm calling to wish my boyfriend a happy 29th birthday. His name is Josh. He listens to your show all of the time. And I just thought it would be cool if you guys could give him a shout out. His birthday is June 11th. He's turning 29. And he's the most amazing guy in the world. Happy birthday, babe.
All right. Tomorrow's his birthday. So, Josh, happy birthday. And it sounds like she's annoyed he listens so much. So, Josh, thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So this first story is kind of like a tell me something good gone wrong, because if you remember on Instagram, a couple of months ago, Reese Witherspoon was trying to do something really nice for teachers, and her company, Draper Janes, did this dress giveaway. Well, now three teachers are suing her for not giving away enough dresses.
Wait, did they? Okay, I'm confused. So a bunch of teachers, did they pay money to get in a raffle?
Nope. It was a giveaway on Instagram, and according to the suit, the offer required participants to provide their personal information to the clothing company, including contact info, sensitive education employment ID info, and that the winners would be contacted in 3 days. But these teachers are mad because it didn't say that there was only going to be 250 dresses given out when millions applied to win. They feel like they should have known before giving their sensitive information that the chances were so slim.
Well, they didn't know anything. They just put their information out there. First of all, they needed to verify they were teachers. That's why they say put down your teaching credential. Or
exactly.
Anybody. What, that is actually a nice move toward the teacher so other people don't jump in and try to win free dresses. Secondly, they never said how many they were giving away. Thirdly, why am I getting irritated about this? Because I don't give a crap about Reese Witherspoon's dress company. But this is people being way too sensitive. Even if she'd have given away 5 dresses, she never said what she was giving away. And she was doing it out of the goodness of her heart.
Exactly. It's just an example of, oh yeah, thanks for being charitable, but we wanted you to be way more charitable.
250, though, seems like a good amount. Like, yeah, that actually seems like a lot.
They also started calling out things like when celebrities were giving away millions during coronavirus for Draper James to do a mere 250.
But you can't judge people by what they do with their own money, and you also don't know what they're doing that's happening quietly and without anything public.
Preach.
That story's ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm irritated. Give me something good.
Let me give you a feel-good one. So the world's tallest living dog, according to the Guinness World Record, just set another record. He's also the world's oldest Great Dane now that he's turned 8 years old. He stands at 7 feet tall when he's on his back legs.
Wow.
And weighs 210 pounds, and his name is Enormous Freddy.
Well, he's also massive when he's on all fours, too. Wow, I'm looking at a picture of him now. I'm surprised that the biggest dog is also the oldest, because usually when you are really big or really small, that means something's not working right.
Yeah, they don't live that long.
Well, not even Great Danes. I'm saying I'm surprised the biggest Great Dane is still the oldest Great Dane.
Gotcha.
Because when you're so big, usually something's not working right in your body, or it's producing extra something, and longevity isn't usually there. So, I mean, listen, my dog, I just weighed him yesterday. He's a bulldog. He weighs 300 pounds.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's like a little sumo wrestler now. He's about 65 pounds, but just yesterday, I was holding him on my palm, and now he's just like a defensive lineman.
He's like a heavy 65.
Yeah. English bulldog. He's heavy. What else you got?
Well, just quickly, one more thing about Freddie's appetite. He eats so much that his owner spends $630 a month on food.
Wow. That's a lot. That's more than I eat, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't spend that money at the grocery store. Not $630. All right, what else you got?
So 1 in 5 people say that their driving skills got rusty during quarantine. The most common mistakes that people have been making now that they're driving again are stalling, struggling to parallel park, forgetting to signal, scraping their wheels against the curb. This is like a normal...
That's a Tuesday for Amy.
Day for me. And then this last one I do not understand, but people are literally having to think about what each pedal does.
Okay, they weren't good drivers before quarantine, and they're now just using this as an excuse. I'm just going to put that out there.
Right, okay, you take 2 or 3 months off from driving, and suddenly you don't know the brake or the accelerator.
I'm still so irritated about this Reese Witherspoon story. Like, you can't have somebody do something generous and then be mad that they weren't generous enough.
I know.
This is a weird story. All right, I'm done.
But it's a true story. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
Oklahomans stepped up big time to help an Oklahoma City nonprofit that was set on fire during protests. It's Dress for Success Oklahoma City, and what they do is help at-risk women, help them learn how to get jobs and go through an interview and give them nice clothes to wear at the interview, and everything was burned to the ground. Like all their computers, all their clothes that have been donated, and all of that. So there was a GoFundMe that was set up, and the goal was $75,000, and they've already reached their goal and then some.
Wow.
So I just thought it was super cool that people are rallying behind them because they're really making a difference for women that need it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shout out Oklahoma City, too. There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Over to Amy with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What did the proton say to the electron?
What did the proton say to the electron?
Stop being so negative.
That was the Morning Corny.
Got a phone call here from Rob. Here you go.
Morning, studio. Just wanted to give Ray a shout-out. I followed his stock tip from a few weeks ago and bought Royal Caribbean stock, and I've made over 3 times my money in just the 3 months since then. Yeah! Go, Ray. Thank you.
Yeah!
Amazing.
Whenever Corona hit and all the cruises shut down, Ray read something on the internet. He was like, I'm investing in Royal Caribbean, so I guess he did too. Did you put money in that, Ray?
Yeah. But I think I said it on the pre-show one time.
But did you take it out already?
No, it's still chilling. That's the reason when I do stock, it's in there for years.
Oh. All right. Well, you made Rob happy. Here's one more. This is from Kirsten, who listens to the show every day.
My wedding is coming up in September, and we are looking to have my bachelorette party in Nashville. So I kind of wanted to hear from the gang if things are open back up, if it's a good idea to come to Nashville, and if so, what are all the show's favorite things to do in Nashville that we should check out? Thanks.
Boy, I don't know what's going to be going. I know that. Who knows? I wish I had better things to tell you. Nashville is still cool. You know, we all live here now. None of us are actually from Nashville. Where I'm from Arkansas, I lived in Austin. We got a lot of Texas folks here. Ray is from Michigan. Amy, what would you tell her?
Oh, gosh. I was going to say the same thing you were. It's so hard. I mean, I know that Morgan, number 2, compiled all of our stuff and has a thing on the website, so we could send her to bobbybones.com for that. And it's all of our favorite places to eat and things to do. But yeah, there's just no way to guarantee what's going to be open at what capacity.
If you call us in about a month, we'll give you better direction. Right?
Yeah.
One final thing before we hop out. Morgan, number two, loves to talk about food. Let's do a food world. Here we go.
It's time for Food World, num num num, with Morgan number two.
Krispy Kreme dropped three new dessert donuts. They come in coconut cake, banana pudding, and Mississippi mud pie. Mm.
That banana pudding donut sounds great. Which one sounds the best to you, Amy, of those three?
Banana pudding.
Yeah. Mississippi mud pie sounds very chocolatey. Is that what mud pie is? Just super chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what that flavor is, right? Because I see mud pie a lot. It's just, Morgan, do you know?
Yep, it's a donut with chocolate pie cream in the middle.
Come on.
Dipped in chocolate icing and topped with cookie and graham cracker crumbles and marshmallow drizzle.
That sounds so good.
And the banana pudding one is filled with banana pudding.
Which I love. Do you have any caloric intake?
I don't. They just dropped, so I don't think they're dishing that out.
That's the buzzkill.
So people don't go.
Yeah. We get really up. And she's like, well, two of these donuts would equal one tractor tire if you ate that. We're like, oh, I guess I won't do it.
Hey, what are you going to do for school close next year? Because are you even going?
We're going to stay at the same school.
What do you mean?
For the kids?
Even though you're moving? No, I mean, I guess is school going to be in a building?
I have no idea. I guess we'll wait till the fall to find out. But yeah, the kids, they have like a uniform.
Even their shoes?
No, you're right. Shoes, they can wear whatever, I think. There's guidelines, but they're free to wear.
I love shoes. You know, that's my thing is shoes.
Yeah, and we just got Stevenson some of the coolest shoes he's ever had, and it was all my husband's doing. He saw these, I guess they're like the original Nike or Jordans, but for kids, so small.
Like probably Jordan 1s.
Yeah, they're just white, and they've got Jordan jump. Well, I guess all the Jordans do.
Probably Jordan ones. Go ahead.
They're just white. Okay. And we don't really buy Steven. He doesn't know things like that, again, because he didn't grow up here in America, and he's only 9, and he's only been here 2 years. Like, things like that are lost on him, whereas other kids might be like, oh, I got a pair of Jordans. I can't believe it. But evidently, that was my husband when he was a kid. He wanted Jordans so bad, and his parents didn't get them for him because they were too expensive. So when he saw this pair, he's just right away, he's like, I'm buying these for Stevenson. He has to have them. And I thought, okay, well, this is interesting. So we get him home, and I don't know, it did do something with Stevenson. Even though he has no idea who Michael Jordan is, he was listening to how passionate Ben was about these shoes and how they were going to make him jump higher and move faster. And sure enough, Stevenson thinks he can jump higher and move faster, and he's jumping all over the house, and he doesn't want to take the shoes off, and he wears them all the time.
I remember my first pair of Jordans. So when I was 12, I mowed yards all summer to buy a pair of Jordans for school. But I got them at a yard sale. They weren't even new. And I was so excited because, again, I grew up super poor. And I saved up. And I think I bought them for like $28. And I wore them. And my first day of school, the kid whose yard sale it was saw me wearing them and made fun of me and told everybody that I bought them from his yard sale. Mm. Never wore them again. So I told myself, when I make it, in my mind making it, I'm going to buy a pair of new Jordans. And so I was probably 23, my first time I got a morning show in Austin. I bought a pair of all-white Jordans. I still have the box. The shoes died. The shoes died a long time ago.
You wore them out.
Yeah, I wore them out, and then they got run over by a lawnmower later. But I still got the box. But that was and I think that's why I love shoes now so much, because I couldn't afford shoes as a kid. There were two things we would do. One, I saved up and got those at a yard sale, but then my mom would always use a JCPenney credit card, and we would buy school shoes, and then we'd take the rest of the year to pay off my school shoes and my sister's school shoes. And so that was always a big deal to get a pair of school shoes, because it took us all a year to pay them off too. So, and then that's why now, if you come to my house, I have an S ton of shoes.
Yeah.
You can decide what S stands for.
Yeah.
But I have an S ton of shoes. That's really cool that Stevenson probably likes them because your husband is so big on them, right? Not because he thinks...
Yeah, he doesn't know anything, but now he's very curious about Michael Jordan, and my husband's pulling stuff up on YouTube. And
what if that makes him finally like sports, and that's your husband's goal?
Oh, no, and in the new house, we're going to actually have a driveway. At our current house, we don't, and this is a driveway where we can put up a basketball goal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's getting him pumped about that, because we definitely need to start dipping our toe in the sports waters.
For your husband's sake?
See where we've all... I mean, I just think he's not exposed to it enough. Like, he's done soccer, But then it was so sporadic, and then they didn't really know where to put them because, again, they just came to America with no idea of what they want to do or what other kids do. So we've got, yeah, we need some activities.
Well, that's cool. It's a good story, though. All right, my girlfriend Caitlin is on the phone right now. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey.
We were just talking about condiments, and I wanted to get you on the phone and talk about this because I said that you didn't eat condiments at all. Is that true?
Right. Barbecue sauce.
That's the only one. Have you ever tried ketchup?
Never.
Never. Oh, wow. Never in all of your years ever?
I mean, maybe if I was a baby, but my family doesn't eat ketchup, so I don't think I would have.
Oh, wow. And
nothing about ketchup makes you want to taste it when people go, it's so good.
Like with a French fry.
It grosses me out.
It's my favorite condiment. That's my favorite condiment, Caitlin.
Really? Okay, well, I will eat barbecue sauce with French fries.
Yeah.
It's different.
That's exactly different.
That's not the same.
So mustard. I love mustard. I do mustard. You never taste a mustard?
Never.
What about the smell of ketchup and mustard?
Sick.
But what if you liked it? Like, what if? Okay, well.
You might.
If I don't. But how many things do you like that you hate the smell of?
But ketchup doesn't smell bad.
What smells bad about ketchup?
Everything. The smell of it to me grosses me out. When people eat it, it grosses me out. Especially if people put it on eggs, it grosses me out.
Yum.
I don't know that I put ketchup on eggs, but mayonnaise?
Sick.
Oh,
ranch?
So gross. I need to find new words other than sick and gross. But
what do you use as salad dressing?
Lemon juice and olive oil.
Okay.
Blue cheese?
Ugh.
So no salad dressing. What about, I know this isn't a condiment, we've decided it's a dip, but what about hummus?
Hummus, yes.
Okay.
I don't think that's a condiment, though.
I'm just seeing how far we can go with this, Bobby. I'm very curious.
You can't get it free by the straws. Like, it's not a condiment.
Right. I'm beyond, and I'm just curious about her eating tastes in general, because I don't think I've ever met anybody that doesn't like any condiments or any salad dressings or any, which there's nothing wrong with this, Caitlin. I'm just fascinated.
Yes, there is. No, there is something definitely wrong. Yeah.
That's so rude.
I don't like onions, and so what she does is she cooks up onions really slow in the food. And she'll be, and I'll eat it. She'll be like, "There are onions in that." So what I'm going to do is get her with a little hidden ketchup mustard surprise at some point.
No, wait, hey, if you cook something, I will eat ketchup and mustard.
Oh,
it's a challenge.
She's saying that
I don't think
no
it's a challenge. I feel
kitchen.
Like this is more of a roast.
It's a little bit of a roast.
Because you cook so, she cooks so wonderfully.
Yeah, why ruin it?
Why would I jump into her world? It'd be like me going, well, if you go do a radio show, then, I'll listen to it. I don't ask you to do that because that's what I do. She cooks.
Well, you did promise me that you would make me my favorite meal if I graduated grad school, and I did. A month ago.
Yeah, but then I overperformed with after that. I did other things.
No, but you can't do that. You can't promise one thing and then give me something else and be like, no, I don't have to do the first thing anymore.
That's true. I never thought about that. But I don't remember saying this, but I probably did. Is it spaghetti?
Are you kidding?
SpaghettiOs?
I don't know. Wait, what's your favorite meal?
Homemade macaroni and cheese.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
You can do the easy.
I don't have to make the noodles, though, do
I? Oh, my gosh. Caitlin, do you know what I used to put in macaroni and cheese when I was a kid?
Oh, no.
Ketchup. If you say ketchup, Amy.
Ketchup. It's so good. It's so good.
You know Caitlin's new favorite thing around the house? Like, she loves a griddle. She ordered a griddle. And it's like, what can she cook on the griddle? All comers are welcome.
Yeah. It's really lame.
And then she's like, I'm so lame. I'm obsessed with a griddle. She goes, all my friends, they're going to the beach. They're hanging out. And I'm like, wonder what I can put on the griddle today.
But you can cook so many. Like, it's a huge griddle. So I can cook a separate meal for both of us at the same time on the griddle.
That's amazing.
Who has a griddle?
I know.
Anybody
have
a griddle? Not me. I wish I had one.
No, but I probably need to get a griddle. I just got a panini maker. What? Pretty awesome.
It's a pancake game changer.
Okay, I need to get the griddle because with the kids, yeah. I mean, with Stevenson, he loves pancakes and I have to do a pancake at a time.
Oh yeah, you can take ours for a test drive. I'll bring it over.
Okay.
Aren't you guys hanging out at some point?
Oh yeah, I think Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When Caitlin cooks, she cooks in weird shapes. Everything that she cooks me, she cooks in the shape of there being one bite missing. So I get it, and there's always a big bite missing. I guess it's just her style
weird.
Of how she. Yeah, it's totally weird. She's like, I made you something, and it'll get to me, and there's a humongous bite missing. It's just her style. It's her art.
Listen,
You are my prize, and I just want to test it for you.
Yeah, yeah. She's. Oh, you're testing it so it's not poisoned or anything.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you for sharing. And if I cook something, you will eat it if it has ketchup or mustard on it.
No, I was just messing with you.
Oh. All right. Well, can we do a bet or something? And if you lose, you eat ketchup or mustard?
No, I don't think so.
What about peanut butter? Because I don't eat peanut butter.
I don't like peanut butter either.
What? Do you like almond butter?
Yeah.
Love almond butter.
Yeah, we'll do almond butter. Both of us will.
Okay. Do you go to Chick-fil-A ever?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A sauce.
No, barbecue sauce at Chick-fil-A is really good.
No, but
really
Chick-fil-A sauce is, it's pound for pound, one of the best next to ketchup. Wow.
What's it made of?
It's a mixture. It's a secret family Chick-fil-A recipe. I don't know.
Yeah, just eat it. You don't ask questions.
I don't know what's in it, but.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Caitlin. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. Like, I'm going to see her in a month. Like, I'll see you.
All right. Talk to you.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There were some teenagers in Alaska. They were out for a hike when they saw a plane take off and immediately, about 100 yards later, crash into some waters. And the teens, ages 13 to 19, were like, we got to do something. They jumped in the water, swam to the plane, and they got the people out, and they were able to call for help. Dang. And the people on the plane were flown to, you know, a hospital in Anchorage.
They saw the plane go down, went and chased where the plane went down. They were teenagers. They jumped in the water. They pulled them out, saved them, and everybody lived.
Yeah, ages 13 to 19. I mean, at 13 years old, you're probably like, ah!
That's a weird impression of a 13-year-old, but I'll take it. I'm in. All right, that's a crazy story. That's awesome. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
All right, let's open up the old mailbag.
Bobby's Mailbag.
Hey, Bobby Bones, my name is Danielle. My niece is 13 years old, and she has a flip phone. She's had it for about 2 years. She told me that she wants an iPhone for her birthday, but her parents think it's unnecessary. It's not even that I'm trying to be the cool aunt here, just by getting her the iPhone, but no, I think phones nowadays are pretty necessary to communicate. Texting and calling friends are super important when it comes to teens' lives. Flip phones aren't exactly the most useful or fun to use. Again, she's 13. Should I get her one for her birthday? Would love to hear your opinion. From Danielle. Hey, Danielle, the answer is no.
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 What's wrong with you?
Well, I can't wait to say no.
No.
And yeah, you are trying to be cool, Aunt.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
You're not her mom.
But you cannot get a... No.
You can't undercut her mom or dad or grandma or whoever's raising her.
Mm-mm.
This is the quickest, easiest one ever. I thought it was going to be something like... I knew it. I read it right before we came on. But I thought it was going to be like, hey... Does it look expensive? Do you think it's too much for a 13-year-old?
Mm. Right, but if the parents,
you're second string when it comes to making decisions.
If I was a parent and I wanted my kid to get an iPhone and you as the aunt wanted to buy it, I'll be like, yeah, thank you.
But that's not the case here.
No, but it's just, if they're not ready for that, and that's just going to create so much drama.
Even if you feel the parents are wrong, it's not your job.
You're not the mom.
Because Eddie never wants to get his kids a phone or even a stamp. Eddie's like, no, they don't even get stamps to mail letters. That's how helicopter parent Eddie is.
When my sister or brother did that crap, I'd be so mad.
Where do you stand right now with getting your kids phones?
No.
No. Where do you stand based on their age? Like your son now is?
Oh, he's 12.
And would you get him a phone?
What kind of phone?
iPhone.
No, 18.
18.
That's my point. That's my point.
18. Eddie, that is a little ridiculous.
What is that? The helicopter?
The helicopter. 18.
No way, man.
Listen, 12, it makes sense. If you don't want it, that's fine. But 18, Eddie.
No, there's too much. The internet.
He's
going to
have a car, but not an iPhone.
So when does he get a computer?
Well, he has an iPad now, but it's block.
And I don't mind that. He's 12.
He's 12.
You're not going to get him one until he's 18.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine the trouble he can get into with an iPhone?
Okay, so and your other son is?
They're 6 and 5, foster kids 5, yeah. Babies, no. And maybe, I guess, you know, once like, who knows what's going to happen in, you know, 10 years, how my mind's going to be thinking.
He'll be 22, Eddie.
No.
You have to get him an iPhone at 22.
I'm talking about the younger ones. I may change my mind with the younger ones, but for my 12-year-old, sorry, bud, it's a no.
Amy, you have a 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
She has a phone.
She has a watch phone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're starting discussions about an iPhone, but It's because we have an extra one. So my husband has two phones for work, and he mainly uses his work one and not his personal iPhone. So I'm trying to talk with him about, hey, maybe we let her have it for a lot of the time. We see how she uses it. I mean, we're paying for the line anyways. So maybe it's part yours, part hers, and we transition it that way. So that's our conversation.
How do you feel about Eddie saying his son's not getting one until he's retired?
18.
I feel like it's not my place to judge Eddie's parenting, but I feel like it's a little late. I think that, you know, you're going to cause him to, you know.
No, to hide a phone.
Hide a phone. Yeah, or
you ain't smuggling a phone into my house. Are you kidding me?
Hey, would you get him a watch phone?
Yeah, 100%. A flip phone, watch phone, no, all that. Love it.
No, you would get him one like Amy's daughter has.
Right now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I don't mind him talking to friends. I just don't want the whole smartphone experience in his palm, on the palm of his hand.
In the watch
phone. Palm of his hand. Okay, slogan guy.
In the palm of his hand.
Melt on your mouth, not on your hand. Good. You know, I'm loving it.
What is palm in your hand?
Who knows? At some point, it had to be somebody's. Okay, listen. But Danielle, we all say no way.
No,
Danielle,
no.
Do not get her a phone. The end. Thank you. Close the mail back up.
And that was Bobby's Mailbag.
You can always send us emails, though, and tell us your questions. Morgan, number two, where do they send the emails?
Mailbag@BobbyBones.com.
The Bobby Bones Show.
In just a few weeks, the guys are going to Las Vegas for Ray's bachelor party. Now, Eddie and I were invited because we're in Ray's wedding party, but we decided we weren't going to go. Too many people, too much corona happening. So we were just going to just kind of lay back.
Yeah.
Raymundo, how is it going just a few weeks out?
It's pretty tough going. Half the group wants to do a penthouse, get a bowling alley, pool table in the room, and spend crazy money. Some of the other guys want to do a room at the Flamingo for $50. Yeah, I mean, couldn't it be more polar opposite?
Wow.
How many guys are going as of right now?
9. We're still trying to get our buddy Danny in Fort Lauderdale, but he's not responding to texts.
Who is this?
Shout out.
So what side do you fall on?
Billy said he's going to pay for a little bit more for me because it is my bachelor party. So I'm down for the penthouse. If some of the big whales, I guess, are going to fork it down, let's do it, baby.
Did you look how much a penthouse costs? All different prices. But if you want a bowling alley in your room, that's going to be like $8,000 a night.
What?
Apparently, with the bowling alley, that really doesn't exist unless you gamble hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Not true.
That's what Billy said.
Not true. We stayed in one before.
With a bowling alley?
Yeah.
Yeah!
I didn't pay for it, but I've stayed in one before with a bowling alley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baller.
Did none of you guys go?
No.
Where? No. What were you doing?
I don't think he would care. Andy Roddick.
We
went to
that.
Vegas and he got a room. And there was a bowling alley in the room.
Come on.
Here you go. So Ray, I've stayed in one.
Wow.
I didn't pay for it. But when you go all in on a Vegas trip, you may want to consider, they say, the $15,000 a night Kingpin suite at the Palms, Las Vegas. That's where we stayed.
That's the one. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so cool.
Right in the middle of it.
Dang.
So, but you're not, you'd be ridiculous to pay that money. We don't have professional athlete money.
Right. Yeah. My buddies own businesses. So for them, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but they're looking into a pool table. So, I mean, that kind of is what we're working towards.
Wait, probably a little cheaper than the bowling alley.
Pool table.
We went from a room with a bowling alley to a room.
It's got a ping pong table.
We're looking for a pool table in the lobby.
We're looking for somewhere to play paper football. If you can find us a land area big enough to. Mike,
Bobby,
can you find me like a room? Does it matter what kind of hotel you stay in?
We're shooting for MGM Grand. It's centrally located.
See if you look at MGM Grand and see if they have a room with a pool table in
it. Wait, can we pitch in on Ray's hotel?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, how do we get in on this?
I'll give you the Venmo.
Is there really a Venmo?
No, hold on, because if we Venmo you, we don't know how you're going to spend
it.
All right.
Send it to me. I'll be in charge of the money.
Yeah, okay.
who wants the $500 or the cheap hotel?
Jonathan Roberts Brooks, he wants the $50 Flamingo, and Eric Dodd wants about a $75 Excalibur room.
Where does Lunchbox fall into this? Because last time Lunch booked our rooms, he put us all in the...
I put us all seven in one room at the Excalibur, and the AC went out. It was bad.
Yeah.
I told Ray, it's your bachelor party. Whatever you want to do, I will do. Like, I'll suck it up.
So you're just going to go with the flow?
I am a go-with-the-flow type of person, but this... I mean, the text thread is a disaster with Ray.
Oh, the thread's bad.
Well, the penthouse doesn't have enough beds, so some of these guys are going to be sleeping on couches.
No, you get cots. We got cots in that room.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
There were... Probably four. It was two bedrooms in the bowling alley room. And so there were two beds in each. It was four, but there were like eight of us. And the rest of us got cots. I was a cot person.
Okay, well, then that's good information right there. That might be what we're doing.
We can't really. Is there anything with a pool table, Mike? At the MGM Grand, there's no pool table. See if you can find another. We do have Lunchbox calling, trying to, as Mike looks for this. Lunchbox tried to get free hotel rooms by saying he's a social media influencer. Anything you want to say, Lunchbox?
Yes, I did yelling, and that didn't work. So then Bobby was like, hey, be smart about it. Tell them about your social media. And I was like, oh, that's genius. I got all these followers. I'll post some pictures. Mm. Free rooms. I mean, right? It has to be that easy.
Here we go. Number one.
Room reservation. Is this can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing today?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. This is Lunchbox, and I'm coming for a bachelor party into June, so I'm trying to get some rooms.
I have room availability. Looks like I just have standard deluxe rooms available, so I can quote you the rates on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How much are we talking? $399?
How many people in the room? How many adults to each room?
Oh, we're looking for six rooms, and, you know, we got two adults per room, but you never know what happens in Vegas. How many are going to end up in the room?
Oh. So the overall total, you're looking at $430.50 per room.
Okay, so you multiply that by that I'm a social media influencer, so we're looking at free?
No, sir.
Oh, that's it?
There's two more clips.
Same person? Okay. Yeah.
On Twitter alone, I got 200,000 followers. Like, I mean, Mark Turner, athletic director of Holdenville Schools, follows me. Mr. Pectacular. Maddie Lynn from Floribama Shore and The Challenge, she follows me. I mean, does that not give me a discount?
No, the discounts only apply to gaming activity. So now, if you have a gaming card, I can check that. But that's how our comps and our discounts are issued, really.
No, like, I would post a picture on Twitter and be like, hey, here you go, it's free. And people would be like, wow. Like, I mean, Johnny Bananas, you know who Johnny Bananas is?
No, I do not.
Oh, well, he follows me on Twitter.
Okay, so far, no good. I think what you're missing is you got to go Instagram. And two, you got to ask for a manager.
Are there Twitter influencers, I guess?
Oh, you do an Instagram one coming up?
Yeah.
This part? Okay, here we go.
What about Tito's Vodka? You know what that is?
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's an alcohol, and they follow me because I know how to party. I mean, I have 300,000 followers on Instagram. I haven't even mentioned that yet. I mean, this is a huge opportunity.
I apologize, sir. I cannot do that unless you are a player here. That's the only way we could do the comps.
Oh, I am a player. I'm a player. I crush a lot.
So did you guys want to go ahead and reserve that with us right now, sir?
So you're not going to hook me up for being a social media influencer?
No, we don't do that, sir. That's the thing. All of our comps and discounts are issued based off gaming activity. We don't, you know, do that based off influencers or your followers.
Oh, we are going to be, listen, ma'am, I promise you, we are going to be crushing the penny slots. Like, we are going to put, like, hundreds of pennies into your system.
Okay, so was there anything else that I can try to help you with today, sir?
No, that'll do it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Goodbye.
By the end of it, she wasn't having it anymore.
Yes. I just don't understand. How do these people do it? Like, I mean, the Bachelor people, they get free rooms and everywhere they go, and they don't have as many followers as I do.
You have to talk to the right people, right? Did you just call 800 number?
I just called the number on the website.
Reservations?
Yeah, reservations. I figure that's who they call.
You have to actually talk, and just in general, you have to talk to somebody who can make a decision.
I mean, surely right now with Vegas? I mean, surely there's some place that would want Ray and Lunchbox.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How many guys you have in your party?
Nine.
Yeah. Nine people.
Eric Dodd. I'll post Billy? From Nashville about
that's what
your
I'm
trip.
Saying.
Billy from Naples.
Uh-huh. We also got NFL player Matt Overton. So
there you go.
Guys, I can't understand
if
this.
If there's any hotel in Vegas who wants to hook up nine guys. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
Nine days.
We're asking for the world here. How many days, Ray?
It looks like three. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so end of June.
That's only two nights.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday night.
Three nights.
Oh, three nights.
Nine guys for three nights.
Okay.
If there's anybody in Vegas who wants to hook these guys up, let us know.
Yeah! I mean, really? I just can't understand how they don't do it.
Mike, did you find a pool table? The Venetian? Yeah. How much does the Venetian Executive Theater, just how much does it cost, though? Doesn't say. All right.
Some of the numbers Billy was looking at was $5K for two nights, and you get a pool table. So you divide that up with guys, ends up being $400 a piece. which is definitely doable. But again, not everybody gets a bed.
But that's it should be free, right? I mean, we are social media influencers.
What you do is you get in, everybody's in, and then you draw for the beds each night. Like you have a lottery.
Ooh, Some of the guys got bad backs, though, and they got to have the bed.
Are you with the Papaw Commission?
I'm not going. That's not true. All right.
What?
All right. Well, Ray, we'll let you know if anybody reaches out, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
The Bobby Bones Show. This guy gets put in the hospital, and he's like, my stomach is hurting so bad. He's 30 years old. And they found a fish inside his body during an x-ray scan. You tell me if you believe this, Amy. He said the fish slipped into his butt after he sat on it by accident.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've heard a lot of stories. I'm going to bet you that he didn't sit on a fish, and it accidentally went up there. Because I've actually sat on a lot of stuff in my day and been like, whoa, not one thing ever went up my butt. Reports from local media did not specify the fish's size, but the species ranges between 12 and 16 inches long. The patient, who remains anonymous, claimed the fish slipped into his rectum after he accidentally sat on the creature. The patient claimed the fish slipped into it. He came to the hospital. He was a little embarrassed, but he knew once he told them that story that they'd know it was okay. Hey, listen, you do you, buddy. But my professional opinion is he didn't sit on no fish. There's another food story, a guy who was tormented for a decade by mystery pizzas that he never ordered. And you guys see this in the news?
Mm-mm.
Reminded me of Amy because she moved once because people found her house and were sending her pizzas. But for 10 years, a constant stream of pizza deliveries has tormented one guy. He said, I can't sleep anymore. And every time I see a scooter, I think about the pizza delivery guy. For 10 years, they've been coming to his house. He realized something sinister was happening and not accidental whenever he realized that someone, because they weren't paying for it either. They were getting to his house and he still had to pay for the pizzas. And he was like, I don't know what to do. So over 10 years, they've been sending him pizzas. Like somebody's committed to that joke hardcore, huh?
Yeah, 10 years? That's crazy.
He does not pay for the pizzas, instead refusing them and explaining he did not order them. The situation is aggravating for him and the restaurants because they made the pizzas and they're not getting money. For him, he's getting deliveries. He's not paying for them. It'd be a little funnier if they were sending them to him already paid for, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you at least get free pizza.
Mine were.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
And I often wonder if someone was sending pizzas to Amy's house from the show and then got in a little over their head once Amy moved. Like, was it a bit with somebody on this show for a while? And then once Amy's like, I moved because people found out where I lived. If then they were like, well, I'll never reveal that. How do we feel about that?
You can, well, I mean, whoever it is, they can say now. And it's like, it's fine. I'm not going to get mad. But
I would.
It would be funny now to come forward.
Oh, I would.
Go ahead, Lunchbox.
I'll remain silent.
I've been personally reached out to and they said, hey, would you mind saying this to your listeners just in case? And I was like, are you serious? I thought it was a joke, but they said no. So they would like for me to give a PSA not to gargle bleach if you're trying to prevent corona. Like, this is not even a joke. The news story is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that Americans have misused bleach to try to not have to thwart COVID-19. They're gargling with bleach or they're adding it to their food and they're like, hey, tell them not to do that. The CDC also surveyed hundreds of adults, nearly 4 in 10 admitted to using household cleaners in a potentially fatal way. So don't do that. This is a PSA. The more you know, you could die. You could literally die. Don't gargle bleach or burn your throat up. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Amy, what's going on with you today?
I think I might join my husband for some chipping.
On the golf course?
I don't know. What's a chipping green? What do you do? Just putt it?
Cool. No, well, it's like in the middle of putting and driver.
Yeah.
Are you jealous that Caitlin and I are doing outdoor activities together like golf and you're not?
No, I think my son might go too. I think it's more of just trying to get everybody involved doing something. Listen, I don't want to go.
Because we invited you to play golf with us, and Ben was like, she doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Well, so if I go and I start practicing, then maybe it'd be more fun to go with y'all. And maybe I really will like it. I don't know. At this point, I think I'm just going to, like, be a part of the fam, the team here, and then we'll see where it goes. Because we, y'all golf together. We have another couple friend. They golf together. And I'm like, what? What is everybody doing? What's happening?
Well, and you can be good in about a week.
You think?
Yeah. If you're not really good in a week, then you haven't put in enough time.
If you go going every day?
If you go to the driving range like twice, you'll be good. And you'll probably shoot par.
Okay. Well, I'll see what happens at the chipping green.
You got this, Amy.
You got it. You can do it. All right?
What about you?
I have a call with Tyler Farr. He's going to be a guest on the Bobbycast this week. I have a shoot at Bass Pro Shop here. Chris Jansen and I are competing in the Great Outdoors Off. We're going to go do that. And I have a podcast I'm doing as a guest for Matt Jones, who does Kentucky Sports Radio, but he does like an interview podcast too. So I'm doing that this evening. So that's what's up. Thank you, guys. Glad you're here. Glad you're hanging. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones. Ooh.